5. The Unification Church. There are thousands of religious groups in the United States. Some of them are established worldwide religions, such as Hinduism, Islam, and Judaism. Each of these has its various divisions, as does Christianity with its denominations, Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, etc. In addition, newer breakaway groups, often referred to as sects, are continually forming and dying off. And then there are cults, the new religions that don't fit in the other categories. The term cult often has negative overtones. It brings to mind pictures of young people turning their backs on parents, isolating themselves in communes, and adopting strange anti-Christian beliefs. We also tend to think of mysterious leaders, spellbinding their devotees. Some call it brainwashing. Perhaps images of Jim Jones and the tragic mass suicides of Jonestown in November 1978 flash before us. Although the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are cults, they've been around long enough for people to think of them as established religions. For many, the group that epitomizes the word cult is the Unification Church, whose followers are commonly called Moonies. Church leaders consider that term derogatory. They point to their official name, the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. Whatever labels people might use, what's important is faithfulness to the Word of God. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples." John 8:31. An examination of the Unification Church shows it is not guided by the Holy Spirit, who works through the Word of God. Nor is it a unifying factor, or even Christian. Characteristics. Until driven into bankruptcy and bought out by the Church of Scientology in 1996, the Cult Awareness Network, CAN, was a non-religious organization dedicated to educating the public about what it calls destructive cults. It defined a destructive cult as a group with a hidden agenda of power through deceptive recruitment and complete control of the minds and lives of its members. In the 1990s, CAN stated that there were well over 1,000 such groups nationwide, with membership in the millions. Although not all cults have exactly the same characteristics, there are many common threads running through them. A few are deceit. A cult uses vagueness and secrecy about its goals and beliefs. Members rationalize this on the principle that the end justifies the means. The Unification Church, known on college campuses as CARP, the Collegiate Association for the Research of Principles, has used this heavenly deception. Love bombing. New recruits are touched, hugged, and flattered so that they feel loved and important. Renunciation. Former relationships with families and friends are renounced, and former values often referred to as satanic. Preoccupation with fundraising and recruiting. The Unification Church is known for its members selling flowers, candles, or candy on street corners and parking lots. In the book Lord of the Second Advent, former Unification member Steve Kemperman recounts how he raised over $100,000 in 3 years in the mid-1970s. Sleep deprivation. Long hours of recruiting and fundraising, as many as 20 hours per day, stifle critical thinking. Charismatic, dogmatic leader. According to CAN, the leader demands total devotion and may claim supernatural power and unique simple solutions to world problems. Sun Myung Moon. In the case of the Unification Church, the absolute ruler is Sun Myung Moon. Born in Korea in 1920, Moon claims that when he was 16, Jesus appeared to him in a vision and informed him that the world would be transformed through Moon. In 1945, Moon supposedly received another vision, which led to the founding of the Unification Church in 1954 in Seoul, Korea. An ardent anti-communist, Moon was twice imprisoned by the communists in that 9-year span. During the 1970s, Moon came to the United States, where he carried out missionary activities and increased his already large business holdings. The year 1982 saw the famous mass wedding of 2,075 uniformly dressed couples, all followers of Moon, in Madison Square Garden, followed by an even more impressive mass marriage of 6,500 couples in 1988. In 1984, he began serving an 18-month prison term for tax fraud. Nevertheless, Moon's financial empire grew from $15 million in 1980 to $2 billion in 1990, including everything from weapon parts plants in South Korea to fishing co-ops in Louisiana to the Washington Times newspaper. The late 1990s saw that empire fall into debt and near ruin. Nevertheless, according to recent information, Moon's holdings remain extensive, and the family resides in luxury. Church membership estimates vary widely, ranging from 10,000 to 30,000 in the United States, and from the hundreds of thousands to 1 or 2 million worldwide, especially in Asia and most notably in Korea. Although Moon's church claims to be Christian, his theology is anti-Christian to the core. According to the Unification Bible, Divine Principles, Jesus failed in his mission on earth. We must realize that through the crucifixion on the cross, God and Jesus lost everything. There was no redemption, there was no salvation, and there was no beginning of Christianity. So there on the cross, salvation was not given. The Unification Church also denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus. The church considers Moon the Messiah, the second coming of Jesus Christ. He has come to accomplish what Jesus failed to do. Through marriage, Moon will bring about a pure human race. At heart, unification theology, like that of all unbiblical religions, teaches work righteousness. People must earn their own salvation. Kemperman notes, according to this unification principle, salvation equals spiritual perfection, total oneness with God, which can only be achieved by man's constant 100% effort in both faith and action. Christianity, on the other hand, teaches that God's salvation is a gift. Kemperman, who had been in the church for 3.5 years, also alludes to the vast difference between Moon and Jesus. I had wanted to give him, Moon, a small gift-wrapped box of chocolates. When he'd finished his delivery and started heading out of the room, I pressed the gift against his right hand and said, "Here, Father, for you." Without flinching or even looking aside, the glum-faced father ignored my gift and bulldozed right past me into the dining room across the hall. So Sun Myung Moon remained for me an untouchable and distant man, a Messiah whom only the highest church officials dared approach. How different from Jesus, who invites one and all, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. One unification training manual refers to Moon as visible God. But the fact is that Sun Myung Moon is a false Messiah or Christ, of whom the true Christ warned, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear." Matthew 24:23-24. We write this even though the Unification Church is known to sue those who speak against it. With Moon now in the twilight of his life, there is speculation as to who will be his successor, his sons, and more frequently his wife, who is 20 years his junior, are mentioned as candidates. Time will tell what happens to this cult upon the demise of its founder, who has led so many astray. Getting in and out. CAN literature indicated most people who join the cults are 16 to 35 years old, with the most vulnerable ages being 18 to 25. They generally come from middle to upper They generally come from middle to upper socioeconomic families and are of average or higher than average intelligence. They are intellectually curious and idealistic, having philosophical questions about life. Many are also in a state of transition, off to school, away from home, in a new job, etc. Another former member, Chris Elkins, points out that 70% of the Unification Church members are former members in mainline established churches. From What Do You Say to a Moonie, Wheaton, Illinois, Tyndale House, 1981. Elkins contends that these churches often lack a deep commitment to Scripture. In recent years, some Christian churches have watered down their faith and simplified their theology. In an effort to make Christianity easier to accept, they have reduced it to mush. Some also lack an atmosphere of love and acceptance. Many Moonies left the Christian church because they needed to be loved. Whether such comments are always warranted, this is how many people perceive the situation. On the other hand, many do eventually leave the Unification Church. The turnover rate is very high. So if you know someone in this or another cult, don't stop praying, loving, and testifying. Some are forcibly removed by the controversial deprogrammers, whom Unification officials refer to as thugs. Such tactics may border on the illegal, and often don't bring a true change of heart. A far better defense against the cults is that Christians and Christian churches be the loving, Christ-centered people God intends them to be. In these troubled times of false Christs, may we who know God's love in Jesus stand firm in His Word, grow in that truth, and gladly share it with others. Fingertip Facts. Founding, 1954, in Seoul, Korea, by Sun Myung Moon. Authority: The Writings of Sun Myung Moon. Key Teachings: Moon is the Messiah, purification of the human race. View of the Bible: Reinterpreted through the Unification Bible, Divine Principles. View of Jesus: A man, a failed Messiah. View of the Trinity: Unification theology is anti-Trinitarian. Distinction between God and man blurred. Man is incarnate God. Salvation: earned through our own efforts. Further reading: James Bjornstad, Sun Myung Moon and the Unification Church, Minneapolis, Bethany House, 1985. Steve Kemperman, Lord of the Second Advent, Ventura, California, Regal Books, 1982. J. Isamu Yamamoto, Unification Church in Zondervan Guide to Cults and Religious Movements, Alan Gomes, ED, Grand Rapids, Zondervan, 1995. For study and discussion: 1. Discuss the features that are typical of most new cults. Note especially the practice of love bombing. How are Christian churches to show love? What is to be the motivation? See John 15:9-17, 1 John 4:7-21. 2. What other small cults have you read of or had some contact with? 3. Is it likely that the Unification Church will continue to thrive and grow after the death of its founder? Do you think it will become another Mormon church, or, like many other small groups, pass from the scene? What factors might make a difference? 4. Discuss the pros and cons of deprogramming. 5. The box at the beginning of Lesson 1 recounts an Ekinkar meeting which the author had attended. Like the Unification Church, Ekinkar is a relatively new cult, having been founded in 1965 by the late John Paul Twitchell, and teaches the ancient science of soul travel. What type of college student might be drawn into such small on-campus meetings? 6. What can churches do to reach out to people in cults, such as the Unification Church? What can they do to keep young people close to their Christian faith, especially on college campuses? 7. What signs of the end times are clearly fulfilled in the claims of Sun Myung Moon and others like him? See Matthew 24:23-25.